Here's two.
Okay.
Here's two, but I've done some. Maybe that was with that, I'll let those with that. They got S on the name. If you like Sanford and Son, Fred G. Sanford, that's S A N, it's a mark eight period.
Okay.
I don't know if I messed it up.
They sure did.
I don't know if I messed it up or not.
It does.
Mr. Wright.
She's on her way.
Yes.
I didn't want to get accused of taking action without you, but we're getting ready. Tell her the bus is getting ready to leave, she wants her front seat, she better get on. We'll let her get her, she can fly in the back of the end. Let's make sure we aren't playing the same.
Yeah.
All right. I gave her opportunity. All right, welcome to the 11:30 workshop at 1:20 PM. We have been, we're going to jostle the agenda a little bit, but Matt, we're going to get started and we'll go from there.
I recognize time is short, so we're going to cut right to the chase. I'm going to invite Catherine Cameron to begin the discussion regarding our Tuscaloosa master plan. And in fact, let's go ahead right to that point. What did I say?
The auditorium, we're pushing Tuscaloosa back, I understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're, I had it somewhere. Sorry, I took my Tuscaloosa agenda and I wrote tomato notes all over it. Really, I did.
You wanted to grow tomatoes in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, we grow tomatoes in Tuscaloosa, apparently.
Yeah, in fact.
Jose's leaving the airport, we're going to grow, start maybe grow them at Tuscaloosa. We got city auditorium, amphitheater feasibility study, and the Tuscaloosa Park master plan. We can push, Matt, you're talking about pushing that to the.
Yeah.
We've got an, signs. Tuesday, May 31st, which is next Tuesday, correct?
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah, we've got, today we're going to talk about, we were going to talk about the entire Tuscaloosa master plan.
May 31st is.
May 31st is next week.
Two weeks.
I know you can never trust what a politician says, but I'm pretty sure next Tuesday's the 31st.
It is.
31.
Are you talking regular meeting, or are you talking work meeting?
Our council workshop, we have next Tuesday.
Okay, I apologize.
Are we wanting to try to tag Tuscaloosa to that?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Is everybody good with that? Because we've got signs next week, temporary signs and billboards, workshop next week.
Yeah.
Angel, do we need anything from a public notice standpoint on that?
We'll revise it.
We'll revise next week's workshop. We got temporary signs and billboards. We will pull Tuscaloosa.
I'm not, I don't have what you're looking at. The signs, I thought was in 2 weeks from today.
No, that's next Tuesday. And then we've got council meeting 2 weeks from today.
We have an extra Tuesday in May, I guess.
And, Mr. President, are we, I know the agenda fairy took the fire station off the, off the agenda, but are we at some time going to see kind of where we are today on the, some kind of architectural rendering of this?
Yeah, I definitely want to see.
See how we're doing, make sure we're on the right track.
In fact, what staff's going to do, staff's going to visit with each of you individually on a couple of ideas that we have. We're still on glide path, but we've got a couple of new ideas. We just want to float and have the conversation with you. And we're going to do that over the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
Okay.
But, yeah, then we'll bring that back for, of course, council consideration to keep moving forward on it. But you're on the glide path, we're moving forward. Next week on the work meeting, we have planned the signs discussion. If you recall, that we're looking at the temporary signs, the advertising signs, things of that nature. I think we're still going on that. What I'd like to consider maybe is on the Tuscaloosa is add that to our next regular meeting if we could.
Okay.
Based upon the length of that agenda.
Sounds good. I was going to say the other option, which is probably a good one, is I'll just shut up and y'all can talk till 2:15. How about that? No, so well, you will, so we got temporary signs, billboards next Tuesday.
Yes.
Council meeting's in 2 weeks, and you will add that.
Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa to the, our council meeting.
Yes.
All right, so we'll talk about that at our council meeting in Tuscaloosa. Everybody all right with that?
Mm-hmm.
With that, Kat.
Thank you. Catherine Cameron, Assistant City Manager, Public Services. We're here today to discuss the feasibility study for the city auditorium and amphitheater. The city auditorium located in Tuscaloosa Park was constructed in 1936 at a cost of $62,000. It was originally designed as a multipurpose facility to meet the needs of the community at the time it was built. Due to substantial structural and building repair needs, the city auditorium was closed in 2006. Since that time, several options, including demolition, renovation, and retrofitting the auditorium into an open-air pavilion, have been discussed. In 2009, a concept study was completed, which, if implemented, would preserve the facade of the facility but retrofit the auditorium space into an open-air pavilion. The concept study also proposed an amphitheater, which would potentially facilitate more cultural programs in Tuscaloosa Park. Early this year, City Council commissioned a feasibility study to evaluate the cost to implement the concept plan and to evaluate the cost of preserving the existing auditorium footprint as an open-air structure. Ziedler Partnership has completed the conceptual studies, and they are here today to present the findings. At this time, I would like to ask Gino DeSantis to come forward and make a presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What we have today is basically two-part presentation. The first one being sort of a presentation that summarizes all of the work that's been completed over the past 3 weeks. The second part of the presentation is trying to look at the cost for these improvements. Now, what I want to make clear here is that what we're presenting you is not a final design. I mean, it's really starting to get our feet wet by looking at what are the possibilities and what do they cost. And we've looked at a few options and how we can go ahead and approach this. So with that, you know, over the past three months, we've had a series of three workshops with the city staff. And there's also been a time frame where we spent literally a couple days inside the building, and our entire design team, each of the consultants, and we generated best possible as-built conditions, where we went around and measured everything, looked at conditions, investigated what was structurally sound, where could we go with this? And we created plans, elevations, and sections that could then be used in terms of evaluating and doing a cost model for our options. This is a review of basically some site analysis and overall concepts that we should keep in mind as we develop or design for the building. You know, one of them was, you know, that this building really has been a landmark in the community for quite a while, and, you know, there needs to still be a gateway, and it has the opportunity to be a gateway as you come into the new structure as well as Tuscaloosa Park. You know, I mean, as you bring more people here, you want to really look at how do you deal with having people move about this whole area. When you think about it, Sanchez running north-south through the property is almost dividing the park in half at that area. You know, during our workshops, we've identified potential parking, you know, up to the north there. So how do we deal with traffic calming is something that needs to be considered, and how does the building move about it? The main elevation of this building really, I think, needs to be preserved in some manner, regardless of what the final outcome of the building is. You know, also, as you move about the building right now, you can notice that, what really happens inside this building? It's all shut off to the surrounding park, to the surrounding community. You know, the louvers don't help it. So one of our objectives is, how do we make this more transparent so that you want to go into the structure? And this first building talks about, the first diagram here talks about opening it up from the north into the building. You know, same thing with the west side. You've got really what's the back of the existing auditorium right now. Is there potential to go ahead and open that up to make it more friendly, more inviting, you know, more safe in terms of crime prevention? Transparency through the south. I mean, it gives you a great opening to really look through and see the whole park to the south there. And, you know, by the same token, with respect to sight lines, when you're dealing with an amphitheater type setting, you know, you don't have anything structured like you do in a theater where there's going to be a rake and everybody's going to have adequate sight lines over the next person's head. Here you want to go ahead and elevate the stage so that as people find a little piece on the ground to put a chair or to put a blanket, the performers are actually high enough so that you get some type of glimpse to them. So right now, I think that there's about a 7-8 foot level change up to that area. It becomes ideal, you know, really where you're building this thing up without having to build it up. It's already there. You know, and obviously with all types of buildings, you know, you have your service and loading and all of that, and how that all gets handled needs to be looked at carefully. These are just a few of the items that we'll share today, but, you know, there's also, yeah, we want to try to salvage as many of these existing trees, and the placement of the building really needs to consider that as we develop. And then going ahead and dealing with movement throughout the park, you know, so that way this building just doesn't cut it off and, you know, the park has some western limits. So before you can really design anything, you have to have a program. And, I mean, what needs does this building, structure, park need to serve? So together with staff, we've gone ahead and we've basically identified some spaces that need to be provided in this so that we can test, existing footprints to see how we can accommodate the program within the building. So one of the major components in there is this amphitheater. And, you know, regardless of, you know, whether it's the 2009 scheme or our scheme today, there's been this bandshell component, and the size of it really is not defined until we establish this program on, you know, what do you want to do from a programming point of view? This is the type, say, stage that you need. So what we've done is this little red zone shows placement of at least the stage component of it. So, you know, this is what we threw out in our initial studies. You know, this here is where the 2009 study placed the bandshell. You know, but again, looking at the existing trees, you'll see that there's other possibilities that we consider as we move about it. But then that that stage area also comes with program. I mean, you have to have dressing rooms for it, you have to have a receiving zone for it, you have to be able to get a lighting truss off of a truck and hang it from the structure above. So what you'll notice is that blue section behind that amphitheater here is representative of the back of house spaces. The brown to the right is this multi-purpose space, what we're reusing the existing portion of bandshell of auditorium structure. And then the green is some type of outdoor pavilion, covered pavilion space. But you know, as we walked around the site with staff, all of a sudden we noticed that you have that railroad building, the model railroad building to the south. And you know, we thought about, well, hey, here you've got a structure. Could you use it for something? You know, could it take place, could it accommodate some of the program? And when we proposed to some of the council members as well as staff back in the beginning of the year, we had a concept about, like, why are you tearing down structure to rebuild structure to accommodate program, which, you know, the 2009 study was sort of doing that, where we were maintaining the front portion and then demolishing the back part and rebuilding a small pavilion. So we asked the question, I mean, is there any value in really reusing existing structure and redoing the finishes on it? So by that same token, you know, if we want to carry that concept to the other side of, you know, that lawn area, that railroad building is, you know, close to 1,000 square feet of footprint that could accommodate some type of program. And is it worth investigating? So yeah, we went ahead and you'll see this next diagram where we wound up fitting all of these program spaces that were listed. And how could it be provided in, how could it be accommodated in this plan? So what you'll notice is that up towards the north is where we've gone ahead and basically salvaged some of the existing auditorium, and then we've located the amphitheater with the back of house program adjacent to the railroading museum. You know, another option is, what if we went, and this is basically reverting back to going ahead and putting the amphitheater back towards the top there. You can see that we're placing an amphitheater that faces towards the southwest there that opens up to a pretty big audience area. You know, we've done some tests with footprint, just basically taking 15 square feet per person, and we figure that you can fit easily 2,000 people in this shaded area. And then for the big events, that there can serve thousands more, because if you really get out there on site and you start moving to across Sanchez, you know, further down towards the park, you still have sight lines up to there. So again, I mean, it's not what you're going to think is a theatrical performance where you want to catch every detail, but for musical venues where you're going to have the turnout of thousands, you know, I mean, it provides a really good opportunity. And, you know, we discussed this with staff, and it made a little more sense to pursue this option instead of taking over the railroad building. We can still take that building, literally remove all the walls to it, and make it an outdoor covered pavilion. I mean, you have the structure there, just do a little selective demolition. You're not air conditioning it, you know, you're doing a little bit with lighting, but it provides a little gazebo like you have in many parks. So, I mean, with that though, we also had to, we're considering how could we go ahead and phase this project. So what you'll notice is on this diagram, we're showing the existing the existing auditorium up towards the top part of the page, where we've gone ahead and retrofitted that with some program, and then towards the south, we have the little railroad pavilion, the railroad building, which is just left intact. What could we do to the existing structure to basically salvage some of this structure so that we keep the good bones and literally build about it? And one of the things that we're proposing here is to say, you know, let's remove this one-story lump on the south there. That now creates some transparency to open up an opportunity for a window, whether it's for the amphitheater or just to open the building up. You know, this next one shows the area in the southwest corner of the building. It's a two-story area with dressing rooms up above, I mean, in really bad shape. There's structural cracks on the west side of the building there. So if you're going to demolish anything, maybe this is what you demolish out of the building. You know, this shows how we can eliminate that west facade of the building to its entirety and now just open up that whole area to the park. Maybe we go ahead and we cut back a part or some more of the roof. Again, I mean, those bays are 17 feet wide, depending on budget. You know, you can look at how many of them to keep or to get rid of at the end of the day. You know, this says that one of the things that we are trying to do here is right now that whole building is covered with a metal roof. And we would obviously have a small air-conditioned portion of the building, but over the pavilion, what we're considering is that maybe that there's some type of translucent roofing. I mean, they make these polycarbonate plastics that are pretty hard, that provide a degree of shading and shelter under there. So the thought is that we leave the trusses, but we pull back the roof and go ahead and install one of these translucent roofs. You know, at the end of the day, once you've taken away all these parts of the building, this is what you can have left to build back on. Phase one floor plan for the amphitheater. I mean, in here you can see we've gone ahead and basically tried to accommodate as much of the program as possible within there, and I think it does accommodate all spaces. What we're looking at is to create some multifunction space, you know, get rid of all the shutters from the window, from those their existing windows behind there, and throw new windows. You know, with park design, you know, you want to try to create opportunities where you really don't know if anybody's behind that glass looking at you, and it makes it for a safer environment. So again, I mean, this is keeping the structure and the bones and just replacing the skin on the outside. We also have a small catering kitchen that could be accommodated. And then out towards the northwest, the little one-story portion of building there could also remain for some outdoor storage. So what you're really doing is along 9th and Sanchez, you're really not changing that space doesn't have a building or a structure anymore. You're maintaining those facades and you're opening this thing to the park to the south and to the west. You know, and this goes to show how, you know, you can go ahead and fit the amphitheater program into it as a separate phase. I mean, again, going back to the first scheme, you know, you in that southwest corner, you would go ahead and deal with your band shell and back of house support spaces, all the dressing rooms. Another thing I just want to point out is that with the site, I mean, right now we talked about this level change of about 7 feet or so. One of the things we were thinking of was to almost create some type of a stepped, tiered platforms that make the transition between the building and the park a lot smoother. And then I just want to share some three-dimensional images with you. Again, I mean, this is not an architecture at this point. It's looking at what we had left and trying to deal with it in a model. But in this first scheme, you'll see this is the first phase of the project, you know, where we're just renovating the old auditorium building with its modifications. And there's a couple more views in there. And you can see this is what happens when you introduce the band shell component to it. And it opens up its way, you know, out towards the west side there to create that transparency that we were talking about. So with that, I mean, I hope I made up some time. I tried to race through a lot of this stuff. I'm sure I missed some things, but.
Place for Symphony of the Stars.
Yeah, great presentation. Let me ask you a question. I was down for some Habitat for Humanity deal the other day, and I was in the park and cooking hamburgers, and you could look back up at the facility here, and you can see what you were talking about originally when you were here. You had the band shell right on the side,
right.
And it just, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. It just teared down, and you could just see it, you know, and right. Like that. And, you know, I voted against this to begin with, but once I got down there and started looking at it, I thought, yeah, that makes sense to have it on that side and looking down. I think you would be better served. And I see what you're talking about as far as having the, you know, pavilion, you know, on the corner and things like that. But I think you'd be better off doing some of the things you're talking about kind of redoing the inside or kind of gutting the inside, doing the windows and having that band shell just look out, you know, over that expanse, get rid of the railroad, you know, building, because, you know, to get the kind of people you would want there as far as numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's probably going to need to, you know, go away. But, I mean, well, let me ask you this question, too. If you redid the inside, would you still have the stage that's there in that balcony, or would that go away?
No, what we talked about was reserving the first two bays. Like, when you go into the building right now,
right.
there's a small lobby.
Right.
And then that lobby goes into the auditorium. But right. you have a little bit more of an overhang also.
Okay.
We're looking at making that a two-bay-wide lobby. And it's not a lobby, it's really a multi-function space.
Right.
And one of the things that I think is important is you want versatility of space.
Right.
You don't want these spaces sitting there all the time with nothing going on.
Right.
But if you develop it as a raw space that could be an art gallery, could be a banquet if someone wants
right.
it. I mean, we have a catering kitchen that'll accommodate up to 100 people
right.
seated in there. So what the thought is, that now is a two-story high space.
Right.
The balcony's wood.
Right.
You know, you need to get rid of it. But again,
okay.
the concept here is if you're going to get rid of it, don't rebuild it unless you have a use for
right.
it. So what that would become now is a two-story high space. And, you know, I think volumetrically now, you know, you could have quite a bit of daylight in there because you have windows all over at all sides. And it just becomes a great venue and an asset to the city. In the back part now, once you go out of those two bays, what we're looking at is you have roof trusses
right.
that span the
right.
bigger part of the auditorium.
Right.
They're up about 30 feet off the ground.
Right.
What the idea is that you keep those trusses, and one of the options says you take that roof off. And once you've taken that roof off, you put this plastic roofing over it. So that way now it gives you some translucency. And at nighttime, when you go through that park, right now everything's dark. But what you can do is you can add effects to light the thing so that at nighttime, you know, it's sort of sending a glow to the park, to the community. A lot of things we can do. And again, I mean, we think about that when we go into the design. I mean, right now, what we started to look at was, I mean, all of these are ideas.
Right.
They all cost money.
Sure.
So we don't know how much money we're going
right.
to have to spend on this, but there are options, you know, that can be discussed as we move along.
But I just got a text from Jose. He said he would throw in some glass on phase one, but he can't commit to how much it'd be there.
But would that stage still be there?
No.
The stage
right.
would be gone. Okay. And I mean, is that balcony, what was the word you used? Volumetric?
Volumetric, yeah.
Yeah, that's no one. Anyway.
You got to dumb it down for this group, brother.
But why do you need that space up there in that
why?
Area?
You don't. I mean, it's there.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you have the front side. You have the two sides. We're going to build a wall in the back anyway to make the new
okay.
enclosure. So,
okay.
you know, yeah, you build the wall for enclosure because it's the minimum that you need to do.
Okay.
You could turn that into a second story if
right.
you wanted to. But again, it's all dollars. Then you got an elevator that needs to take you up there.
And as far as the floor inside, you would take the wood floor that's there
out.
The concrete.
Right. What would have to happen is that we would need to fill that up a little bit because
right,
right now that's about 30 inches above the existing grade.
Yeah.
That whole wood floor is, there's a big void underneath it.
Okay. You definitely, if you do that, you want to take those boards up piece by piece and sell every bit of that. It's worth a fortune.
That's what I keep saying.
A
make
fortune.
Frames.
An absolute fortune. Pardon? You never know. I mean,
yep.
but I'm telling you that would.
A couple things. Can you go all the way back to the aerial? I think it was like on page one.
To the aerial site plan?
Yes.
Oh,
it's going to, I can't remember if it shows up on there or not.
This one?
Nope, keep going. The Google Maps satellite view. Didn't you have one on there?
Yeah, they were the original analysis boards.
Yeah.
They're coming up after this. We'll just grab one.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, it just, there we go. Throwing this out there. If you don't like it, you can send it right on back. This obviously is an old picture because we got a bunch of trailers in there.
Yes, sir.
And a couple things, which I have been, when we go back to this thing going over the last couple of years of the fire station, I start looking logistic. You're talking about opening this thing may up, and you're talking about gateways and things of that other nature. Do we know exactly where the fire station is going to be sitting in relation to this? I mean, is there any, can you just kind of point out on this map just logistically where that fire station is going to be sitting?
Okay. Joe London, London Engineering uses this map. There's the city auditorium.
Yep.
Right, there's 9th Street.
Correct.
There's Sanchez. Okay, here's Wauwatula.
Right.
Okay, we're going to have the driveway for the fire station where you can bring the fire trucks right out of their parking garage area and drive right out into Wauwatula.
Okay.
So the actual fire station will be sitting in about that area right there.
Okay.
We want to leave an area over here, just a big green area, due north of the auditorium building.
Right.
Okay. That's what's, when you started talking about opening that up, I just, you know, I started picturing the, you know, like the Pirates event the other night, which was great and wonderful and fantastic, and we have a big event down here, and you got 10,000 people or something, and I know we would never do it, but you got to be able to get fire trucks out of there in case, in the event you need them somewhere else. The other thing about this, and I want to throw this, I don't know what it would cost, but you see, this is not city property. This far right corner, which I guess is the northeast corner, all those homes, and there's a road that goes right up through there.
On the diagonal to the
right. Right, all of that right there.
Yeah.
That is still all privately owned, correct?
Mm-hmm.
One day?
Yeah, how much would that cost to get rid of that?
I'm just telling you that whole, if you really want to start thinking big about this thing, that would be an area, I know you go across the street, you get in a residential area, but you're getting up here and you're going to have events, and, you know, little whoever, they were playing music till 9 o'clock the other night, you know, and you can hear it all over the place, you know. God bless, you know, Mr. Roos, he can hear it from Silver Springs, but just something as you start going with this, the big picture on this thing. And again, I don't know how much it would cost, but we got rid of the trailer park. It's just something that you may want to consider, because then you really get a complete, I don't know, because I mean, how many residents are in there? I think there's some business. These are the ones that are out on 8th, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think those maybe are some businesses with one residence in there. I mean, what would be the cost of that to, I'm just throwing that, I don't know. I know that's not part of, but that may be more utilization of land. Who knows? I mean, parking or more green space, Joe's talking about, another little, you know, city park kind of thing. So I just, you know, as we move forward with this thing, if you're really going to start, we're already trying to see, make something happen that's already there, but just maybe a way to really start thinking, enhancing. And when you said gateway, I just started really thinking, does it have to be, you know, the Sanchez or what you were at? Does it come back down 8th and come in, you know, behind the Little League field there or what? I don't know. And then the other, I just want to throw that out there to council. And the other thing, tell me about the catering. You said catering kitchen. Is that a sink and a table?
Well, basically what's
in a microwave?
It's close to that. What they do is, all you do in it equipment-wise is you'd have a sink there with some minimal tables. But there's no ovens, you know, no, it's not a restaurant. But what they're doing is when someone is catering an event, they come in with vans that have all the food pre-cooked, and they go into these rolling ovens that keep it warm until it's ready to be served. So you need to have a footprint where those ovens can go in and be plugged in. So you'll see a wall that'll have these receptacles intermittently.
And my question is, do we sell ourselves short on the potential use of that site? any, you know, I look at, I always go back to the golf course and everything, but we redid the clubhouse and golf course, and we got a little old, you know, got the little kitchen, a little old sink, and a little of this. We're trying to figure out how come we can't make any money with the food and beverage kind of stuff, did it. And we've got across in the, I don't know, you know, our rented place that we rent at the golf course, we got the banquet hall. We've got, my God, we could run, you know, Outback out of there. I mean, we got this full. So I'm just considering the option of what it would look like if we had a full, you know, footprint of a working excess kitchen. I see Jason right there, and if we had a chamber event out there and you had 3,000 people out there and you wanted to, you know, who the heck knows what, you want to cater it, or do you just, let's go down there and allow different, I just, you know, picture, I don't want to sell this thing short, so I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean,
cost-wise, I know it's money, it's a lot of other things, but I hear this little catering kitchen, and I'm like, yeah, that's, we got that at the golf course, and we're trying to figure out how to.
Right, as I said, you know, we developed this on the area, that 1,500 square feet that I think is defined in the program.
Oh, I think it looks great. I just,
you know, no, but I'm saying, but one of the nice things about this project is that you have something there right now. You don't want it as the auditorium. It just, it doesn't make sense, and, or it's going to cost you too much, and it's never going to be right. So you have something that's there. We're going ahead and trying to reuse as much of it as possible. I mean, going to your point, you know, President Owen, I mean, if you look at this terrace that you have a 5,000 square foot pavilion there, potentially. You know how many tables and chairs you can throw out there? And, you know, yeah, you section off a part of it like every downtown does with their sidewalks, and part of it is a private restaurant. I mean, if that's what you want, it's something that could be investigated. The catering kitchen right now is a program space that does not exist in the building, so we added it. Obviously, for a commercial kitchen, you'd need more area, you would need more equipment, but it's all a matter of just trying to find that footprint within the existing building, and I don't think that it'd be an issue at all.
Yeah, whether or not it stick, I'm just throwing that out there for consideration, just as, you know, who knows. Because I look at something like this, and we say, you know, we understand where we're trying to go, and we want to make use of this facility, and we're trying to, but fast forward, you know, let's, an event, what are we looking at? I mean, it's Symphony Under the Stars, how many, if you want to give an editorial, how many mess up our golf course for the Symphony Under the Stars? But that's just an editorial. There's quite 4,000-5,000 people that come out there, pretty good. So boom, let's fast forward and got 5,000 people sitting on this picture right here, and what, and not just Symphony Under the Stars, but I just don't want to sell it short. I mean, let's make it it's going to be a centerpiece. It's kind of our Central Park,
right?
You know, for us, and so for 20 years down the road, what kind of events can we have? What are we looking to have? What will they attract? What's going to give an event a reason, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, what's going to make them want to come here as compared to, you know, going out to, you know, the villages or somewhere else? What is going to be the draw here? And just, you know, reshuffling the deck here and getting excited about it, I want to make sure we've got a goal where we're headed to, and that it's completely functional, and that we've got something to sell. Of course, all that costs money, but I don't know, just give you some money and you'll take care of it, right?
Let me interject something here on this auditorium as a whole. We're talking those trusses with the skin off in the center area there. You're talking those trusses that are existing in that building.
Yes, sir. They're existing steel bow trusses.
Right, right. And they are wrapped at this time with wood.
There is a wood deck.
Yes.
On them, and then I think a metal skin to the outside of it.
Before you were ever called into the dilemma we have here with what to do with the auditorium, are you aware why the auditorium was brought up for discussion to be redone? Termites.
Okay, but we're getting rid of all wood.
Okay. You're going to eliminate every bit of the wood that we have existing. Be nice to sell a lot of the wood, like you said, but you also have a problem with termites.
No, what we're thinking of is that everything is stripped back to substrate, and then, you know, any new finishes are basically low maintenance applied to the substrate.
Right.
But the wood floor is coming out on the sleepers.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and all that balcony area as well.
Yes, sir.
Yes. A lot of that wood structure.
Yes, it is.
And all the overhead support, other than the trusses, has a lot of wood catwalks and so forth.
Mm-hmm. No, we're aware of that, and that's the reason why we're getting rid of.
All right, in lieu of that part, we got that one out of the way. Are you aware, or how much experience have you had in putting band shells together?
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit? Your design of your band shell, it doesn't look acoustically pleasing.
What we've done.
You put 90 degrees in there, and a band shell never has 90 degrees.
No, those walls are angled in plan. Those walls are angled in plan. Anyhow, I mean, this is the concept. If you, there's a packet of information that you were given electronically, I believe, and they don't have it. Okay. Basically, this is the product of our past 3 months of work. And what you'll notice in here is, I mean, we had Seabine Associates out of Gainesville as an acoustical consultant on the project. There's their recommendations on this. And, you know, they have been at these workshops as well. We've had conversations with them also. If we look at the plan of it, right now you have two angled walls with a straight front to it as a stage platform area. So these walls and your wall at the back, they're actually acute or obtuse angles on both sides, and there's a little fin wall. If you look at their report, they initially put some comments with respect to trying to create an orchestra shell inside that stage area, which is something that you typically do in performing arts theaters, where it's literally a box, and now you need acoustically to be able to get that sound energy to come out. So you literally put these curved panels that create a shell so that the sound energy doesn't come out. To do that in a band shell, where the major use of something like this is for music, to go ahead and put a shell within a shell really doesn't make sense. So we've had conversations with them to say, hey, look, you know, we need to get rid of these. We're going to go ahead and the two walls that return across the front, what we would do is we would make them out of what we call soft goods that could be moved out of the way. So that way, if you had a symphony up on the stage area, it just lets all of that sound energy out into the park. Again, this is a report. I mean, this is not a design. I mean, we're throwing out and you must know some about it to point that out, but you're absolutely right. You know, you should not have 90 degree walls, because then you get flutter echo going back and forth in any type of music performance. If you look at even at some of the models in here, the shaping of the roof on that band shell comes up like this, and part of that is so that it's acting as a reflector to kick music out into that. Now you're just
looking at a placement. Just a placement of where one.
This is
be.
Studying footprints and you know, massing more than anything else at this point. But we did have the expertise of an acoustical consultant on this project.
All right. Did you have?
Can we go forward a little more? I'm kind of the opposite of Kent. I liked it on the side better at the beginning, and now I kind of like it over at that angle.
Now you like it the other way?
Well, go forward some more.
Okay,
there. Like,
oh, okay.
Here on the side. I don't know.
The one before that or this one?
I think this one. What was the one before? The
one
before didn't
is
have
just
anything.
The first, this is just the first, what could be the first phase without a band shell.
And then
the
you
project.
Would add the band shell
right?
to
and
the
then
side.
You could always add the band shell into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you've got the band shell here on the side, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, the way you first had it with
using
the band shell right in between those two. Go back a couple of screens, if you will, maybe, and one more. Yeah, there was that. You had that center section.
Yeah, you,
out.
That's
yeah, you
the
had
section
that out.
You're talking about.
Yeah, I was talking about the band shell being there, and, you know, like you were talking
if,
about when we first
I
looked
may.
At it,
right,
suddenly,
right.
where it just looked out.
It just looked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, again, these go back to those diagrams. That, you know, there's existing trees there
mm-hmm.
that we tried to work around. And,
right.
and a lot of these little footprint studies
right.
are saying how, I mean, what arrangement has the least impact on the existing trees?
Right.
When you think about it, somebody's going to be behind the tree someplace. But again, for these types of events, you know, it's the way it is.
Right.
But I thought it was neat that you had, the way you had it, you know, there before, that those trees that you sit under the trees, and that was what was so attractive about that location.
There's where you're.
That you were all under the trees.
Well, you are with any of those. I mean, even if you moved it to the side, you still have it. And so it's just a matter of placing it, and, you know, even by moving it down the hill, there's other ramifications. Now you start getting more into a little bit of a theater setting, like where it's sloping down at it, you know, where the bank could be used for seating. But, you know, I mean, we did the Meyer Amphitheater in West Palm Beach. You know, they put Sunfest on there every May, the first week of May. And literally, there's two stages that they set up in the whole, they put a fence around downtown pretty much along the waterfront. But, you know, you're there, you can see the stage, you know, you don't have the appropriate sight lines and all that, but it's a matter of really just being there with the music and part of the experience. I think that's the most important. Seeing where the live music's coming from, and most people are happy. With a lot of, you know, once you start getting into over that 2,000 square foot area that you're needing to accommodate, I mean, there's all this electroacoustics that goes into it to help enhance some of the sound. I mean, it's not all natural at that point because the land area has gotten too big and there's really nothing to control the acoustics out in the environment.
Matt, you
want to
jump in there? And
I do.
Really cut you off.
No, that's quite all right. I made mention when we first started this conversation that staff wanted to visit with each of you about the fire station. And then, Council President, when you started talking about the bigger picture, it tied right into why staff wanted to meet with council persons. We have some ideas about maybe looking at locating the fire station elsewhere in light of this bigger picture. And in light of the fact that you're going to have events with 3,000 and 5,000 people there, does it make sense to have a fire station trying to work its way through those crowds to respond to emergencies? And so, I really appreciate framing that well, because we want to talk to you about the bigger picture and see if there's other possibilities and envisioning the future and what might be possible.
So now we're not going to have the fire station there at the where the mobile homes were?
That's not what I'm saying. We're committed to that. We're moving that direction. Okay. But we simply wanted to have the conversation.
Okay. About not having it there.
About not having it there.
Come on. I just want to talk about it.
Them damn fire trucks, well, they're in handy. They come in handy when you need one.
Possibilities. But we're 100% committed there. I just want to have a conversation about some of this visioning, which we're talking about
today. Well, and I was just thinking sort of the same thing when Daniel said that. You know, you got somebody complaining about the music, and then the fire truck goes off at midnight. They were playing music, and then we got a fire truck. So, you know.
It's going to be anywhere, though.
Yeah, that's going to be anywhere. That's going to be anywhere. Anyway.
It's just a logistical thing. I mean, I look at it when I start looking at it, and it's and that's where I go back again. If you remember, I talked about architecturally making sure that this and the fire station kind of so it blended and it's not just, you know,
two separate things.
Yeah, well, this definitely
just kind of flows
with the fire
and it all goes through that. But I mean, I'd love to see what Matt's got stored in her to have a conversation.
Don't omit the fire trucks unless you omit the railroad that's right next to you as well. So point your fingers at one, point them at both.
Well, you know, one of the things, the reason I want to go ahead and, you know, see this fire station is because one of the things we talked about that was going to be done was we were going to take the facade of the old number one fire station and have that, and then, you know, whatever, you know, around it. But, you know, we were going to keep that that facade that was the old number one fire station. But obviously, that's not going to, if you want to do that and then be next door to each other, that's not going to mesh like you're talking about. It, you know, maybe the fire station somewhere else, I don't know where, but would be a good idea, but we can talk about it. But that was the whole point in taking down the, well, there are other points, but that was one of the main reasons to get rid of the mobile homes.
And staff's very much aware of that, and that's why we simply wanted to have a conversation, float the ideas, see if they have any traction, because as you know, the city spent a lot of time and energy on removing that mobile home park in anticipation of a fire station. But as you look at the bigger picture, the long-term vision, you just got to stop and say, what if?
How many acres are there? Seven?
On the mobile home park?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
7 acres. How many?
Little over six.
Yeah, six, seven.
A lot of the removal of the mobile home park had to do with not being in the mobile home business.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was up some sand and other reasons.
Oh, by the way, the fire station happened to be there. It's a good place to keep engine one out of the retention pond, so. It's getting late in the day. I'm sorry, y'all. There's no telling what could come out next. Another cup of coffee. Matt, if you can schedule some time, it'd be interesting to hear your 15 minutes of fame on what we may be able to do with the fire station. All right, sir. We're talking. I'm sorry. Thanks for joining in. You anything else?
Well, I mean, the next thing is just looking at the numbers of these stubs.
Postponing everything that we push.
With that, I'll let Kathy, and I also have Sean Ryan with Venue, who was a cost consultant to us on this project that basically helped to generate these budget numbers. Thank you.
Thanks.
Kathy Crowell, Recreation and Parks Director, and you will get a complete copy of the report. They had some changes that they needed to make to it, so you'll get a final copy of that. I placed in front of you a sheet that shows what the project cost estimates are. As you'll recall, we asked them to do two different studies. Study one was the old concept plan, and I put a copy of that in front of you as well. And that included the maintaining that facade and that front lobby area, as he's explained, and then a smaller pavilion that would be about the size of the pavilion at Martin Luther King Park or Jerby Gant Park. But it wouldn't be a pavilion. It would be, architecturally, it would fit in with what we have there, similar to what you see on that concept plan. So, but I just wanted to give you a perspective of the size. It would be about 40 by 40. The cost for that would be just over $2 million. And then in addition to that, if we built a separate amphitheater, it would be just over $3 million. So the total cost of that concept plan would be $5,250,000. And then we asked them, okay, give us a study of retrofitting the auditorium in its existing footprint with some kind of patio / stage area that we could use to support events. The cost of that, if we use that cow wall that he's talking about, which is that translucent plastic material, it's $3,100,000. And then if we went back with a metal roof, it would be $2,440,000. Of course, we could go back to the idea of demolishing it, which would be $50,000 to $75,000, or we could start brand new and construct a new auditorium, and I'm not necessarily recommending these in any order, for $4 million. So I just wanted you to have all the options in front of you. At the same time, I have given you what is a conceptual, and it very much is conceptual, the Tuscola Master Plan for you to take and look at. Because of time, I'm not going to go into the specifics on that, but there is a financial estimate in there. I have plugged in some numbers for the auditorium based on the preliminary numbers that we had. And, you know, I just want to point out that an amphitheater is a pretty upscale amenity to have in a park, and you're going to have more upscale events, but the rest of the park needs to be brought up to that same standard. So it's something we want to keep in mind. Total project would be with an amphitheater with the auditorium renovation would be over $7 million.
Mr. Quinn.
You know, one of the things that let me back up for a second, you know, to what Councilman Priester was saying a while ago about the termites and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the reason we were going to, that was one of the problems, the roof was leaking and it was running down the, you know, side of the wall and it damaged the floor. Total cost to fix that was about $400,000, okay? But we had to bring it up to code, and if it exceeded 50% of the cost of the market value of the building, you know, you had to bring it all up to code. Mm-hmm. So it went over to $1.2 million. The building was $2.4 million, and that's why, you know, it got out of all that cost. Then we shut it down, and we figured that there wasn't really, you know, a reason to keep it open because you know, those events were going other places, and now the county spent $3.2 million to do their facility over there, which is a great facility. Whenever they looked at it the other day, they said they rented it out five times. Cost you $2,700 a night to rent it on the weekends. And they said that's what the market could bear, and well, yeah. But anyway, it hadn't been used. So building something else, you know, like that, I mean, the county's already done that. Let them, they've solved that problem. But I like the idea of what you're, you know, talking about here. However, you know, one of the things I had talked about before is, and maybe we'll get to that soon, is, you know, we were talking about doing a whole master plan of Tuscola Park, correct? Mm-hmm. But I like what you're saying as far as, you know, the type of events you're going to draw are going to be, you know, more, you know, upscale with what we're trying to do, and kind of bring that park, you know, up a little bit as far as, you know, things that are going on there. It'll tie perfectly into the downtown when we get that, which is another question, the linear park we're talking about doing to connect that. Kind of where is that? Maybe you can give us an update on that. But I like the direction you're headed, but there's some other elements in that neighborhood that need to be cleaned up, which are, you know, a PD, you know, problem. But you're moving absolutely in the right direction, you know, on this. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but I want to see how this fits in with that whole master plan of the park.
So, and you have that master plan and a conceptual drawing in that, and take it and look at it. I'm not going to try to cover that today. And I want to reiterate that it's very conceptual.
It?
No, it's right in there's a page that opens up in there.
Okay, this one.
You're already looking at it.
I think we need to have a lot more discussion before we final, and you need to write a check before we move forward. But I do want to point out something because you brought it up. You know, we have a lot of plans for the front of City Hall that also includes a stage. And so there might come a point where we're going to have to make some decisions, where you are going to have to make some decisions on, you know, I would love for you to give us $7 million to make Tuscola Park what I think it can be. And I've been elbow deep in history on this park for the last couple weeks, and it's very exciting. We're coming up on the centennial celebration of this park. It would be great 4 years from now to have it restored to what the original envision was. But at the same time, I know we're looking at other projects. If you put a stage out front here at City Hall, you know, and we try to move more events this way. So I think we just want to, I think we do need to consider all of those things at one time, collectively together. Also, how much will the neighbors tolerate at Tuscola Park? It is something we certainly need to consider. We went through it when we had the auditorium there. Every time there was a concert or something, of course, we had a trailer park there too. And those were the people that typically were complaining. So we've talked about some temporary but nice looking stages. You know, before we invest $3 million, do we spend a couple $100,000 to put something that's relatively nice looking, would get us through the next decade, and test that market before we invest $3 million? And so, and those stages are out there, and I'm not talking about the aluminum stage that you pull in with a semi truck either. So I just think that, you know, before, and Cindy Kelly's probably back there having heart palpitations over the whole thing anyway, so.
She is, actually.
She's got tomatoes going. She doesn't have room for amphitheaters, but, so I want to be realistic.
Considering the record of this council, it's probably not prudent for people around Tuscola to come down here and complain, because trailer park people did, and we, you know.
Yeah.
Told them, they just bought their property, and now they're not there anymore, so.
You know, and Matt's right that it was a beautiful segue that you even brought that up, because the trailer, you know, the discussion about the fire station, and, you know, if you decide not to put the fire station there, then your conceptual plan for Tuscola Park totally changes. And you can start having conversations about, do you need to even leave 9th Street open? Could you?
Right.
Then the auditorium sits in the middle of the park as opposed to on the edge of the park. All kinds of other conversations. So we don't want to hurry into decisions.
That's why I talk about that other little city block there up in that corner. If you really start kind of panning back a little bit, there's
some visuals too that I think, if you haven't been out there to really take a look around, you know, there's some places I would like to take you to and have you stand there and look. Here's what we're talking about. Those trees, you know, there are some sight line issues. I don't think they're, I think it's something we can get past, but I want you to have that visual. So either get out there on your own, or if you give me a call, I can walk out there with you and share some of what we're thinking. And then in addition to the master plan, it goes into, you know, event spaces and parking and moving traffic and that sort of thing. So individually, if you'll call, I can walk you around there. And so if we're bringing this up in a couple weeks, the master plan itself.
We're going to do that at the council meeting 2 weeks from today. So I'd say if you get a chance between now and then to get with Kathy and go out there on the site, drive around, see some of that stuff she's talking about, and we get some more information and have some more, just more questions. And then, Matt, if you want to schedule, I mean, I've got some time. I'd like to hear what you got with the fire station and be able to throw that into the mix. So,
up to you.
Sir, I appreciate it. It's very, very, very good. Very good presentation. And sorry we've thrown a bunch of wrenches into it. But
I learned a little about tomatoes.
I'm feeling strong.
Need an investor now.
I'm feeling like there's a good chance we can get you some glass. I don't know that for sure.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And anyone in the audience, I want to make sure that we have public comment. Mr. Yandel, I know this is up in your neck of the woods, so just wanted to make sure. Anybody else have any questions or comments? It's been an interesting morning here at City Hall and afternoon, as usual. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Will the Tuscaloosa and all of this will be 2 weeks on the agenda at our regular council meeting, okay, 2 weeks from today.
And you can give us an update on the Linear Park and where we are on redoing the front of City Hall?
In fact, because of time today, I'll be happy to do that next City Council
okay. You can tie all that in together.
Absolutely.
With this, and we'll have an agenda item
under the
City Manager's report for all of this,
consider done.
All of those things. And John, we need $7 million, so if you can find that in the next 2 weeks, we appreciate it. It's got to be in there somewhere. That's what everybody always says. Y'all got it somewhere, don't you?
Right.
Anybody else have any questions for staff? Appreciate it, and sorry for the time frame, but it is what it is. We're stretching them out here lately. Anyways, have a good afternoon.
Those are good questions for the AFF.
I have one. Yes.
It's like, what are you, those cops?
Yeah, that's it's a moving target. Moving
target. Like, absolutely, they want to hurry up, because then we're on the boat. We're just growing tomatoes.
Yeah,
we're paying $17,000
right.
For property that we own.
Right.
It's kind of like a county and a recycling one. Let's just wait and see what this is.
Yeah, right. I was telling them back there you stepped out. Kathy Bryant.